Hi, I'm Pete. I work at La Trobe Uni. I'm an old mate of Toby's. He's invited me to talk to you guys today. Great to see you. Sorry I'm not with you in person. Now, let me be honest. It's COVID-19. Everyone's been living on Zoom. I'm sick of Zoom. You may be sick of Zoom. Let me try and make this short and sharp. I'll do my best. And to help you kind of concentrate and to grab hold of everything, can you find a bit of paper for me? Can you find a bit of paper and a pen? I want you to draw something straight up. I'm not going to let you wait for the conclusion. I'm going to tell you how I'm going to conclude right now. I want you to draw a picture. Here it is. You ready? Grab a pen, draw a picture. I want you to draw. Start with a circle on that bit of paper, roughly the size of a 10 cent piece, right? You know what a 10 cents is, right? Draw that circle. In that circle, I want you to write the word son or daughter. That is the heart of Christianity. The heart of Christianity is being adopted into God's family, a son or a daughter. Now, I want you to draw a vertical line right through the middle of that circle. Not too hard, because you don't want to kind of obliterate the word son or daughter. At the apex of that vertical line, I want you to write the word seeker. At the bottom of that vertical line, I want you to write the word servant, right? Seeker at the top, servant at the bottom. Now, I want you to draw a horizontal line through the middle of that circle, right? Don't make it too hard. Horizontal line. On the right-hand side of that line, you write the word shepherd. On the left-hand side, write the word sower. So look at the picture. You should be looking at a picture of a cross. The cross is a symbol of Christianity. That vertical line is about love for God. That horizontal line is about love for neighbor. It's a picture of the Christian life. That diagram is a picture of what it means to be and to live as a Christian. At the heart of the Christian life is being a child, a son, a daughter in God's family. It's then living what I would call a cruciform life. It's living as a son, daughter, core identity, and then being driven, motivated to live as a seeker, a servant, a shepherd, and a sower. So today, a simple message. You need to live a cruciform life. Let me say it again. You need to live a cruciform life. And put simply, that's the message in Mark 8. That's what I want to look at briefly with you today. Mark 8, you need to live a cruciform life. So let's pick it up. Conversation between Jesus and his disciples, verse 27, who do people say that I am? That's the question Jesus asks. The disciples say John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the prophets, right? It's a list of powerful people, a list of people who speak for God. Jesus then turns to Peter and says, but who do you say that I am? Peter says, you're the Messiah. You're the Christ. Let's pick that apart briefly. Peter is saying to Jesus, you're the person spoken about in the Old Testament. You're the person spoken about in Psalm 2. You're the anointed ruler, the anointed king spoken about in Psalm 2. You are the Son of God. You're the king who's going to rule the world. Now note how Jesus responds. Peter, don't say anything about me. Don't talk to people about this. Jesus is saying to Peter, I'm a king, but not in the way you think. Stop talking about me that way. As I'm simply a king. Listen to what I'm about to say. Right? This is what Jesus then says. The Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law. He must be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. It's a very clear message, isn't it? I'm a king, but I'm a king on a cross. I'm a crucified king. Very clear, isn't it? He says it twice, that he must die. Now, the language here, Son of Man, that you can do some Old Testament research, right? You can go back. That's Daniel 7. Daniel 7, the Son of Man is a king who rules over God's kingdom. He's also a divine figure worshipped. Jesus is very clear. Son of Man, what did he come to do? He came to die. He says it two times. Why must he die? Well, let's get back to your pen and paper. I want you to draw a horizontal line somewhere on that bit of paper. Horizontal line. That line is a line between good and evil, right and wrong. Above the line of right, you should write the word God. Jesus says, 1 John 1, verse 5, God is light, and in him there is no darkness. Totally good. Totally loving. There's no evil darkness within God whatsoever. Now, I have a question. Which side of that line do you think you are on? Would you put yourself above that line with God? Below the line, darkness. I talk to a lot of students. Most of the students I talk to tend to put themselves above the line. They tend to put themselves with God. They see themselves as being fundamentally good people. Now, let me suggest simply, briefly, that that represents an impoverished understanding of God. Jesus is very clear. God is light. God doesn't tolerate any darkness whatsoever. No darkness at all. No tolerance. No approval. If you're not perfect, if you're not utterly filled with light, if you're not completely like God, you don't belong above that line. You belong below the line. I think there's a clear line between who God is light, and humanity, us, you. Oh, there's darkness in all of us. We're separated from the living God. Now, how do you get above that line? If you start below it, how do you get above the line? Oh, there's a religious message here. Really popular message. The religious message goes like this, something like this. You start below the line, but if you do something good, help an old lady across the road, give some money to a poor old man, go to church on Sunday, you put yourself above the line. You've atoned for your sins. You've made it up. Do something bad again, you're back down below the line. Got to go to church the next week, got to give some money to the poor, got to do something good, you're above the line again. You spend your whole life going up and down. That's a religious message. When you're up, you're confident and resilient. When you're down, you're depressed, you're flat. You hope you die when you're doing something wrong. You hope you die when you're doing something good. That's a religious message. Now, the message of Jesus is not religious message. Jesus' message here is not do what I say, do what I do. His message is I must die. You are so flawed that I must die. You're helpless, you're hopeless, you can't lift yourself above the line, you can't sort your life out. Jesus' message is, you're so flawed that I must die. I die in your place for your sins. How do you get above the line? The Christian message, right? And I want you to do this. I want you to draw a vertical line right through that horizontal line. You should be left with a picture of the cross. How do you change sides? Jesus is saying, it's me. I die in your place. I take upon myself the judgment you deserve. If you want to change sides, you put your faith, your hope, your love in me. It's me. Follow me and you can change sides. I will lift you up. The Christian message is that we are so flawed that Jesus had to die. So loved that he's willing to die. It's Jesus. It's Jesus, faith in Jesus, following Jesus, that allows us to change sides. It's Jesus who lifts us up. That's why verse 34 here is so important in this passage. See, look at what Jesus says, verse 34. And he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple, note the language, must deny themselves, take up their cross, follow me. So three things, let me unpack them briefly. Three things. First, you must deny yourself. Now, what does that mean? What's Jesus saying? I think he's saying you need to stop trying to be good. Stop it. Stop trying to impress God. Stop trying to put God in the position where he's going to applaud you for how good you are. No. Deny yourself. Admit that you are helpless and hopeless. Admit that you're wrong. Give up. Stop trying to rely on your goodness. Rely upon him and his goodness. He dies in your place for your sins. You start out by giving up the quest to be good. You stop putting your faith in yourself. You put your faith in him. To deny yourself is to put your faith in Christ. To admit that you're so flawed that he had to die. And yet, so loved that he's willing to die. That's where you begin as a Christian. See, Christianity is about Christ. It's Christ who brings you into relationship with God, into fellowship with God, into harmony with God, who allows you to participate in God's own life. It's Christ who doesn't simply, as it were, forgive you. He brings you into God's family as a son or daughter. See, living as a Christian fundamentally is about Christ. It's about finding rest in Christ and his work on a cross. It's about rejoicing in Christ and all that he's done for you. And because of that, you could say it's about resisting idolatry and sin and all that corrupts you. Now, what will all that mean? Well, I think Jesus' language here is helpful because the language here is take up your cross. What does that mean? I think it means you've got to live a cruciform life. If you want to live as a son or daughter, if you want to be a part of God's family, you need to show it, as it were, in the way you live. You need to reflect the character, the love of your older brother, Jesus. Now, what will that mean to live a cruciform life? Well, there's a vertical axis, isn't there? That vertical axis, that's love for God. It means becoming a seeker. Because you've been loved by the eternal God. You know, 1 John 4:10, in this is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us. And gave his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 4:10. Because he loved you first, that draws you, motivates you, gives you a reason to seek him, to exalt him, to trust him above everything, to enjoy God by talking to him, taking his word to heart, eating his word, embodying your love for him in the way you relate to people, embodying your love for him in the way you deal with your money and sex, enduring hardship as your father's discipline. That's Hebrews 12. It's about becoming a servant. See, Imagine that the living God has served you first. You know, Jesus, Mark 10, 45. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He serves you first. Now, what will that do to you? Well, I think it makes you a servant. It motivates you to accept the grace that you've been given, to gladly serve other people, to become gentle and lowly like Jesus, to use your gifts to edify God's people, to do all the good you can, to generously share what you have been given by God with other people, to look forward to the glory that Christ will share with you. So that vertical access moves you to become a seeker and a servant. There's that horizontal access. That access, that horizontal line, it's about love for people. Now, what will happen? It'll mean that because Jesus is your good shepherd, because he is the shepherd, the great shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, because he's laid down his life for you, that will move you, that'll motivate you to become a shepherd, to lay down your life for others. It'll motivate you, just to use this language, it'll motivate you to love God's people, to love the sheep. It'll motivate you to know the sheep, to get involved in people's lives, not to be frightened because people are messy or dirty, not to hold back because they're demanding or complex. It'll move you to feed the sheep, to teach the gospel. It'll encourage you to lead the sheep, to point them to Christ. It'll motivate you to protect the sheep from false teaching. It'll motivate you to find sheep, to find people when they're lost, when their lives are messed. You won't abandon people. You'll look for them, care for them, look after them. So on one hand, being loved by the eternal God, having Jesus as the shepherd, it'll motivate you to be a shepherd, but it will also motivate you to be a sower. Because through the work of the Spirit, you're brought into God's family, made participants in the love between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. Because for you, that becomes the great joy in your life, the great thrill in your life. You will be motivated to speak about Christ, to distill the truth of the gospel in a way that allows you to talk about it, to display the truth of the gospel in the way you live, to declare the gospel confidently to the people in your life, to discuss the Bible with anyone who wants to explore Christianity, to disciple people and to teach them to live a cruciform life. What's Jesus' message for you today in Mark 8? Follow me. Follow me and I will bring you into God's family. Follow me and I will make you a son and a daughter in that family. Follow me and your life will be totally transformed. Follow me, and in the end, you'll become like me. When people meet you, they will see me. They'll get a glimpse of me. Why? Because you're living a cruciform life. The person you seek is fellowship with the living God. You humbly serve both the living God and other people because that's been your experience of God. You've been served. You will generously and kindly and graciously love people. Love the people God's putting in your life. You'll be a shepherd and a sower. What's the take-home message? You need to live a cruciform life. If you want to live as a Christian, if you want to be a Christian, it's live a cruciform life. It's deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. So have a good look at that diagram today. There are five things for you to think about, to reflect on, to do. Take the message to heart. Honor the living God. Live a cruciform life. Let me pray. Father God, watch over us today as we think about you and your word. We pray that you'd speak into our lives and draw us to yourself, that you'd keep motivating us to live for Christ, to live a cruciform life. Help us to live, Father, as a son and a daughter in your family. And because we're sons and daughters, help us to seek you, help us to serve, motivate us to live as shepherds and sowers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.